All that good singing, we ought to salute the flag, praise God, I'll tell you. Wasn't that good? I told Brother Gene, I don't like clapping in church. Now, you may like clapping in church, but I don't. But I said, we ought to stand and clap for those folks. They did so good on that. I tell you, that's good singing, and I appreciate it, and I'm glad nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that a blessing to know? I serve a God of, he says, there are no impossibilities. All things are possible to those that believe. And that's really a real comfort to my heart to know that when things are going wrong, I know a God that can do everything. And I appreciate the good singing this week. I tell you, can beat. I don't believe you can beat it. And it's been great. I appreciate the ushers, and I appreciate all of you that have filled up a pew, and all of you that have prayed, and all of you. And especially that Saturday morning prayer meeting, wasn't that good? Praise the Lord. And every night, and well, we just praise God for every blessing that he's blessed us with. I was thinking as I was flying over here last Sunday afternoon, the airplane caught on fire. And the pilot said, we're over Tri-Cities Airport. I said, well, just land here. I'll just stay with Gene. Praise God. Amen. But he said, we'll circle it a couple of times. We were coming in from Charleston, West Virginia. And he said, we'll circle, and if it's all right. And he said, I think maybe a fan belt or something caught on fire. I said, well, Lord, help him to know which one caught on fire. Amen. I was in Pittsburgh one time, and I had to rush after the afternoon service to get to the airport, out at the greater airport in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And man, did I have to run. And when I ran and finally got on the plane, sat down, little stewardess had already gotten their names and everything, destinations, and she came over to me and she said, welcome to the friendly skies of United. I said, thank you. She said, would you give me your name and destination, please? I said, my name is Jackson, and I'm headed for heaven. She liked to drop that. You know what she said? She said, I hope you don't go today, brother. That's all. But it is good. I've enjoyed being here. It's been a real blessing. And I appreciate your pastor. One of the finest. You know, he's going to be preaching in Winston-Salem in a conference. And I'll be down at Statesville start on Tuesday night. So I think I'll have the privilege to get up and come over and hear him. And another good friend of mine who I hold a meeting for every year, Russell Rice, will be speaking that morning. So I'll try to go over and be with my friends. But you need to pray for your dear pastor. You need to hold up his hands. You need to stand by him. And I thank God for the way you have stood by him. Amen? And you need to, you know, I believe this. We need to let people know that we appreciate them. And I want you to know I appreciate you with the deep of my heart. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to take and let you read, or look as I read, from the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. And in this, Jesus was being tempted of the devil. The devil wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him. I'll show you later that it has been all through the ages the devil's wish to be worshiped. All the way, even, and I'll talk about it in the introduction, before Lucifer, that bright and morning star, so to speak, that great cherubim who was the archangel who fell because of pride. And let me say this, pride always goes before destruction. If this church gets too proud, God will bring you down. If this preacher gets too proud, God will bring him down. And but Satan always is desired to be worshiped. And I'll show you from the Word of God in just a moment. Let me just say a couple of things about this. We have several problems in America. I think the biggest problem is the sin problem. And I'll tell you, the only answer is not education, rehabilitation, reformation. Bless God, it's the old-fashioned gospel of the power of the blood. That's the only thing to take care of the sin problem. Secondly, we got the problem of AIDS. And I don't know how you feel about it. I believe it's a curse that's fallen upon this nation from turning sodomite. Say amen. And then we've got the dope, and even your liberal politicians. I mean liberal politicians. Even the liberal, they saying we've got to do something about the dope problem in this country. How that dope is coming in here by the millions and millions and millions of dollars. How that our young people are being hooked on dope and their brains just actually melt. It's terrible when they get off on the dope a kick. But those are your three big problems in America. Now, let me say this. 90% of the people going into Satan worship now are some way connected with the dope traffic. Either they're pushers or their own dope. And that's the reason down on April the 11th, a few days ago, there was a massacre revealed that 13 men had been butchered or massacred, I mean mutilated, and taken out in the name of religion, that's Satanism, and given their lives unto Satan, unto death, that they might be protected. I don't get that. How are you going to be protected when you're dying? But that's what they said in the news media, of course. You can't always believe everything you hear about them. Look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 4. I want you to stand with me, and let's begin reading with verse 1. All over the house. Now, immediately after chapter 3, and Jesus being baptized, it says, verse 1, chapter 4, in the book of Matthew, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, let me give you something else the devil's always fought, that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, that he's truly divine, that he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, if I won't have anything to do. I just tell you, I don't want anything to do with a man that says that Jesus Christ is not the God who came into this world, died on the cross for our sins, and rose the third day. I believe that with all of my heart. The devil's always want people to say, well, he's a good man, or he was a good teacher. He said that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said that to him. Jesus was not a great teacher. He was God come to teach. Say amen right there. We need to get our priorities right and find out where we stand. But notice what the Bible says here. And it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. Now notice, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, now notice, it is written again. Only way that you can defeat the devil and the satanic forces of hell, you have to take this word, it is written. There are two things the devil can't stand. He can't stand the word of God, the name of Jesus, or the blood. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, you plead the blood, I'll tell you the devil, he'll get nervous right quick like you get to pleading the blood. Now notice what the Bible said, notice. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now here's my text, verse 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, even in the life of the Lord Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, after he was baptized, the first thing he ran up against was devil worship. The devil said, Jesus, if you're the Son, fall down, I'll give you the world. Oh, he didn't get the world that way. He redeemed on the cross. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I like that. Boy, that makes me want to shout right there. All right, look what the Bible said. Then said Jesus unto him, Hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now notice again with me, please, and fall down, verse 9, the latter part, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see here, and I'll show you in a moment, Satan desires to be worshiped. Satan wants to be like God. In fact, I'll show you in the book of Ezekiel where he said, I want to be a God, a God. And he is the God of this world. He's the prince of the prince of darkness. Satan is now. And that's the reason you have so much of this old horror stuff on your television and all this old black stuff coming out of Hollywood and all that stuff. Brother, it's of the powers of darkness. And the devil is making it popular, so that people can be enticed into devil worship. But in just a moment, I'll speak to you. I want you to be seated all over the house. I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message. Father, I want to thank you for this meeting that we've enjoyed here at Buffalo Ridge. I thank you for the good pastor. I thank you for the faithful ones. Oh, how they've been faithful to tend the house of God. I want to thank you also for our visitors who've come. And now, Lord, we know that people want to know the truth. Thank God you said if we know the truth will set us free. And what a blessing it is to know the truth of God. I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have life in Jesus. So I pray that you'll bless us now as we come to bring the message. And all that you do, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments, I'm going to speak on Satanism. The worship of the devil himself. Why, when I was a kid, you never heard anything about people worshiping the devil. I was taught from a lad that Satan was evil. I was taught as a lad, beware of all these witchy boards. Beware of all this witchcraft, fortune telling, and worshiping the dead. But today it's becoming a very popular thing. So because on April the 11th, the world was shocked. They revealed of a Satan cult. They said it's connected with drugs down across the Texas border. The whole world got the news in just a few minutes. There's a satanic cult called devil worship in the ring of dope just across the border. How it shocked people that 13 people died instead of living. Satan offers death, and I'll show you that in the end. Jesus didn't come that you might die. He came that you might live. Boy, that blesses me. Somebody said, how long are you going to live? I'm going to live forever and forever and forever. That's why Christ came. But look at this. I want to show you. Satan is a counterfeiter. Remember that when you look in the Bible and you find the word Satan or devil, or you find satanic influence, he's always in the business of counterfeiting. You see, the devil's got, he's a counterfeit God. He has a counterfeit church. He has a lot of counterfeit Bibles. Did you know the devil is a counterfeiter in this day in which we live? He's got his own kingdom of darkness. And when you look at this thing, you wonder what's happened to the people. Oh, I'll tell you what's happened to the people. They've fallen into this evil type spirit, and they've been led into this witchcraft, into devil worship and Satanism. But I'm going to take and show you today 5 D's concerning Satanism, the religion of the devil. Now, my friend, I want to tell you it's a dangerous thing. The first step for your girl to get mixed up in Satanism or your son to be mixed up in Satanism is the drug traffic. I mean, you let a boy begin to sniff or take and shoot up in his arm a needle. After a while, all of his senses are gone. He goes on what they call a high rise or a trip, and it's not long until his brain has been baked, and he is ready then to be led by the evil powers of Satan. But there are five things, if you have your pencil, I want you to jot them down today about Satan and his ism. Satanism, number one. I want to unmask it by telling you that it is a religion of deception. Now, you remember these people have been deceived. Oh, what a sad thing it is. Not only in Satanism, but when you see people today that are deceived. The pastor and I was riding back, I told you, with a great preacher in this part of the country. And he said, when we let him out, he was on a walker, he said about 75% of our church members, Brother Mays, Brother Lashley, have never been saved. That means they've been deceived. They've been brought into the church with a little signing of the card or saying, I'll tell you, I want to be a Christian. But this book says, and the Lord added daily such as was saved. Man, the only way you can get in the church is get saved. Man's got to be saved. And the Lord adds to the church as he did daily in the book of Acts. Thank God I wasn't deceived. I was a little old boy. And listen, I heard the gospel. I wasn't deceived. I heard the truth. Thank the Lord. That old preacher in our church, and my pastor was there for 52 years. You think Brother Gene's been here a long time. My pastor stayed for 52 years. I asked him when he was 94, I said, Brother Phillips, I said, I want to ask you something. Did you think you stayed too long? He said, no. He said, why travel? He said, it's better for them church members to move. All I had to do was send them a letter, and I had to get a truck when I moved, so I decided to stay there with them. But, oh, you know what, that old, he was a lawyer before he was saved. And Brother Phillips would get up in that old First Baptist church up there at home, and he'd stick his finger right down there. He'd tell me, you lost sinner, you need Jesus, or you're going to go to hell. And you know what? He had me believing that thing. Oh, he had me believing the truth. And I knew, and I said, thank you, Lord, I haven't been deceived. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? The devil is a deceiver. Go back. Now listen, go back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible said Satan, the serpent, came unto Eve and deceived her. You know how he deceived her? He said, if God knows, if you eat of that fruit, of that tree there, in the midst of the garden, you'll be God. You'll be like God. And Eve, you know, that feeds your ego. My Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and Eve was deceived, but not Adam. Adam knew when he took that fruit that he was going to die. He wasn't deceived. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took the forbidden fruit for me. He knew he was going to die. Thank God I'm glad this Sunday afternoon for such love. Adam did not want to be separated from his bride as she came from the bleeding side of Adam. I got news for you. The church came from the bleeding side of the Son of God, and praise the Lord, he gave himself for it because he loved it. I don't have any confidence in evangelists or preachers running around criticizing the church. We got a lot of faults, mister, but I want to tell you, the redeemed are going home one of these days. We have the truth of God here. I'm glad that you don't have to be deceived, that I didn't have to be deceived. But the devil said to Eve, you'll be like God, and she was deceived. And what a sad thing that was. Way back under in the beginning, deception. So when you hear of the Satan cult, it's a bunch of people who've been deceived. Not one of those know the truth. Not one of them could stand up and tell you about redemption. Not one of them could tell you anything about being relieved from the sin burden. Mister, they've been deceived. Not only the Satan cult, but multitudes over America. They have been deceived. Someone asked me one day, said, do you change your sermons for truckers? I said, I don't change my sermons for truckers or nobody else. I said, I have one speed. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Say amen. I said, praise God. And I pour the same thing into every cup. Somebody said, will you preach at Calvary Baptist next week in Tocoa? I've been there 30 years. I've been in that church 30 years. Let me tell you something. I'll preach it just like I did the first time I went in that church. I don't have any changes to make. I haven't found anything better than the truth. I haven't found anything better than the Word of God. But you hear me. The first thing about Satanism and the religion of sin and the devil, it's deception. Secondly, it's a religion of darkness. Of darkness, mister. Everything about Satanism is in the dark. They worship the devil in the dark. They offer their sacrifices in the dark. It's not a kingdom or a salvation of light. It's a religion of darkness. Listen to what this book said. Men love darkness because they're evil deeds. They love the darkness because of this old nature. Depraved, this nature that the devil comes and captivates and says, love darkness. But listen to me, I'm glad this book said, they that sit in darkness, when Jesus was born, saw a great light. I like to say, I saw the light. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Hear me now, I want to give you something you never thought about. The only light there is the light of the gospel. Only light in this world that's real is the light of Jesus. I'm glad I saw that light. I trusted the light. I followed the light. I'm walking in the light. I'm not in darkness anymore. But hear me. I want you to know that Satanism is a religion of darkness. Now, it was not popular worldwide till 1950. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something about that dark kingdom. But it was started back in the days before Egypt. Back yonder in the days of the pharaohs, really. It was started back there by black magic and all of this old Hindu stuff and that they've got down here in the islands where I'll preach this sermon. I'll put it on the radio. But you hear me? I want you to know that voodoo and all of that stuff that they're going after now, being under a spell, they said it. I preached in Jamaica, 11 revivals in Jamaica, and a man came up to me and he said, I'm under the curse. I said, mister, I can tell you how to get out from under it and get in the blessings. Praise God. There was a time I was under the curse, but cursed is he that hangeth on the tree, and he died and took my curse from me. And what a blessing it is, mister. Darkness. If you went into a satanic hall, you know what it is? Their drapes are dark, black. Everything's black. Everything is black. 1950, there was a man named Laval, and he cut his beard to look like Satan. He cut his hair, and he put on a cap to make him look like the devil. And he said, I am the chief priest of the satanic church around the world. And we're going to overthrow the churches. And we're going to overthrow God. Well, I got news for him. He's been in it since 1950. We're still doing pretty good. Hallelujah. And you tell that old bird if you ever see him, I'm still doing good. Oh, he said, I'll put down the church. He said, darkness is the order. No, darkness is not the order. Now, you know why hell was prepared? You know what the Bible said about hell? It said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and they will be cast into outer darkness. But you know what Jesus said? I am the light of the world, and you'll abide in a city where there'll be no need of the sun. Thank God the stars won't have to shine over there, for he shall be the light of that city. And that's where I'm going, to a city where cometh no night, where there be no darkness. I'm going to show you some Bible teachers and professors believe some of this. I'm not sure about it. But I'm not sure where the devil failed. Now, let me give you something real quickly. Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible said, the devil said, I will be a God. I will sit in God's seat. No, he will not sit in God's seat. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. And he was cast out of heaven. Now here's where a lot of, I don't know whether they're right or not. If I did, I'd tell you. Genesis 1 says, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now let me stop there. I believe that in the beginning God. If you don't believe that, you don't believe anything. I don't know where the beginning was, but he is back there. I don't know where the end will be, but he'll be there in the end. You don't have to worry about that. And the Bible said in the beginning, God did what he created. This thing didn't come by monkeys and all of that old evolution stuff. I'm glad it came from the finger of a creative God. And God said, let there be, and there was. That's as good as I know how to tell you. Boy, he just spoke it into the world. That's what the book says in the book of Hebrews. Let me tell you what the professor said. He said, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, that means empty, had no form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's in the beginning. They say that's where the devil fell out of heaven. I don't know. I'm telling you, that's what they say. All I know is it was dark. But they failed to read the next verse where it says, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. It's a type of a man before he's saved. Did you know before I was saved? Listen to me. I was without form. I was void. I was empty. Darkness was upon the face of my soul. But hear me now. The Bible said the Spirit moved on the face. You remember when the Spirit got a hold of you? You remember when the Spirit started speaking to your heart and troubling you? Listen to what the book said. And he said, let there be light. Boy, that night, seat dormitory room 813, State College in Raleigh, North Carolina, I saw the light. I got out of the darkness of sin. And praise the Lord, I stepped into the light. But let me say to you, first, satanic religion or Satanism is a religion of deception. It's a religion of darkness. Number three, it's the religion of demons. And friends, you'd be surprised how demons are covering this earth. Now listen to me. I used to go to the mission field every year. And I've actually seen this. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it. I've seen men walk with bare feet on hot coals and not be burned. Demon power. I saw one man down in Africa. I saw him take his knife. He is a warlock, or we call him a male witch. And he took that knife and he put it through that hand. And that blade went out the other side and blood squirted everywhere. And he pulled it back, and there wasn't any blood, and there wasn't any scar. I said to the missionary, what is that? And he said, demon power, let's get out of here. Oh, you say, Preacher Mays. I said, could that be a trick? And I don't know. All I know is, brother, God's Spirit said, get out of this place. I want to tell you, the Bible said in the last days, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, listen to what the book says. There will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Just as sure as my name's Mace Jackson, these seducing spirits, all of these evil spirits, they're called demons in the Bible. Let me show you one. Years ago, I went to the Holy Land. By the way, if any of you want to go, we're going in November. I know Pastor won't go. We're going to be gone on Sunday, and he won't leave his church on Sunday. Amen. But listen to me. Listen to me. I was over there, and never will forget, I came out, and this gagged me. I ran into a professor of the University of Pennsylvania. I was walking over to get some orange juice down there at the little caboose. You ever been to the Holy Land? It got some cabooses. And I said, amen. And that lady said, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And I said, I'm Brother Mays. And I'd say, Brother Nate, say amen right there. But you know what I did? She said, oh, I'm over here studying. we're doing some work over here. I said, really? I said, do you believe that, right? Listen, I said, sister, look right across yonder. Mark chapter 5 says there's a man of the Gadarene country. I said, he cried all night, he cried all day. I said, ma'am, do you believe that that man would bite himself and cut himself and mutilate his body? Did you know that he had so many demons, they called him Legion? And that man had no control whatsoever. But one night upon the sea, and I said, praise the Lord, there came a little boat, and there was the master of the sea in that boat. And did you know when that little boat landed over there, Jesus started up the hill, and he met that wild man, that man that had mutilated himself, that man that had demons in him, that man that had no control. Now listen, when a man goes into devil worship, three things have got to be controlled: his mind, his body, and his soul has got to be controlled by Satan. He cannot be a true worshiper of the devil until he says, my mind, my body, and my soul bows before thee, your majesty. Well, I want to tell you, that man's mind, that man's body, that man's soul was bound by demons. And that little lady said, well, I don't believe that there's a wild man over there 1,900 years ago. Well, I had old Don Collins and a bunch of me from North Carolina. They shouted. They shouted all night. The next morning, I met that same lady over there at the little orange, you know, where I was getting some orange juice. And she looked at me and said, I don't believe there's one over here 1,900 years ago, but there's about a dozen around here last night. Praise God. I said, lady, let me tell you something. These men have been tamed by the Lord. These men, here's a man, and the Bible said he came down the hill. He was coming down the hill, and he cried out, the demons, did you come to torment us? Demon powers know that they're going to be tormented, and they cried out, before our time did you come to torment us? Listen to me. A man that's in Satanism, a girl that's in Satanism, they're being tormented. I mean, they're being tormented. There is no such thing as peace in that heart. There is no thing as contentment in that heart. But you show me one of these old Christians that's lived for Jesus. Praise God, and he can walk along and sing, peace like a river floods my soul. He can walk along and sing, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that against that which I've committed unto that day. Now watch this, I want to show you something. And when Jesus cast the legion of demons out of that man, the unclean spirits, the Bible said he cast them into the hogs. And I used to preach a sermon called Hogicide. Say amen. Bless God, they drowned himself. That's true, hogicide. Now, you may forget everything I say, but you remember that. Boy, it was a hogicide. And the Bible said that they went into the swine. And that man went home after he was relieved of all that demon power that had his mind, his body, and his soul. He went home, and he put on some clothes. Let me tell you, one of the greatest evidences a man gets saved or a woman gets saved, they'll put on the right kind of clothes, brother. They'll do that every time. I asked a missionary in Africa one time, I said, what do they do over here when they get saved? He said, they put on some clothes. I said, what do they do in America? I said, they put on some clothes. Say amen. You say, my preacher don't preach against it. Well, he ought to preach against this nakedness and nudeness, all this stuff, brother. That leads to all of that lust and demonism and unclean spirits. But the Bible said that man went home and put on some clothes and came in his right mind. He had the right mind, and he sat down at the feet of Jesus and praised the Lord. He worshiped Jesus. But let me give you something, mister. Satanism is a kingdom of demon spirits. Let me mention two more quickly and I'll let you go. Satanism is a kingdom of drugs and all kind of sedatives and all kinds of evil that would cause a man to get beside himself and a man to go in, my friend, to the extreme outer space type of living. They talk about down in Atlanta, That man went too far out. Oh, that man took an overdose. That man died because of those drugs. Now hear me tonight. This afternoon, my Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. Any doctor in Atlanta, Georgia, my doctor, you can call your doctor, or here will tell you when a person gets hooked on drugs, he automatically yields to the spirits around him. I don't care what kind they are. He automatically. That's why a mother would go in and butcher her little baby. That's why daddy would come in and commit incest with his daughter. Oh, you say, preacher, it's because of that awful, awful thing called drugs or any of those things that they sniff on, mister, to take that vow of body and soul and spirit to the devil. And so this drug traffic's becoming a problem. It's in your schools, whether you know it or not. It's in our colleges. You can't imagine down in Atlanta, Georgia, and the big schools around there, how much dope has entered in. And listen, there was a time when you went to the University of Georgia. Listen to me. You know what you'd find? You'd find a Baptist church for the Baptist kids there, I'm told. You'd find a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church, a Holiness church. But now they've got Satan's church added to it. They didn't have it a few years ago. Oh, they know if they can get them off on those drugs, mister, they'll have no reason, and they can't believe. A doctor told me in Atlanta, Georgia, said those people that are hooked on drugs, they can't think straight. They can't believe. And I said, it reminds me of John chapter 8. Where the Bible said they could not believe. Did you know, I thank God I could believe. I did believe. My Bible said if you can't believe, you're not saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you listening to me? There's got to be belief. But when your mind is so polluted by drugs, a doctor will tell you they cannot believe. I've dealt with people in my meetings that looked at me with tears and said, I can't believe. We can't believe. What sadness that is. But let me mention the fifth thing. I'll not preach too long today. Number five, listen to me. Satanism is a religion of death. See, if you join Satan's church, all he can promise you is death. But if he'd be true to you, he'd tell you damnation's on the other side of death. That's all that Satanism has to offer, is death. And what a terrible thing that is. I have in my office, and if I can think of it, if you want it, I'll send you the black mass. It says at the bottom of that, if anybody exposes it, he shall be killed. Man, I sent out over the radio a few years ago. You've never read such in your life. I mean, I've got the ritual. They call it Satan art. It tells every step as they go into that demonized black sanctuary. And the devil's representative stand there. And the angels of the devil stand there. And they offer a black mass. You say, preacher, what are they doing? They're offering death. Did you know it's exactly opposite to what we offer? We don't offer death. I don't tell you to come to Jesus and you're going to have, I tell you, come to Jesus and you're going to live forever and forever and forever and forever. What a blessing that is. You listen to me? All they can offer in Satanism to those, all they could offer, those 13 people they've already dug up down there, piece by piece, all but one, they had been mutilated, cut up like chickens. All they could offer was death on the black mass. Death is a terrible thing to be offered, mister. It's bad enough to go to the hospital and the doctor, you know, and I'm not here to get your sympathy. I don't believe in that. I hear singers get up and say, I got a bad throat. Go on, sing. I'll know you have a bad throat. Say amen. You know what my doctor told me the other day? He said, you're going to die. You know what I told him? I said, you're going to die too, bud, according to this book. Say amen. Amen. I wasn't going to let him get over to me. That same little doctor, that little Jewish doctor of mine who's a fine fella, he's going to die too. And I've witnessed to him, and he tells me he's trusted Jesus. If he has, then he has life. Oh, but if he hasn't, he's going to die. Listen, not only physically, but the second death, which is eternal separation from God Almighty. That second death, that's what is, that's all Satan can offer, is death. Boy, wouldn't it be terrible if that's all we had to offer? My old pastor was 96 when he died. I went to see him when he was 94, the last time he knew me. I stood over his body and I said, "Preacher, I've heard you preach Romans 12:1 all my life." And I was a little boy, you preached it. You know what it said? "I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." God invites you to live. God invites you to life here that's wonderful, and life after this life. But if you'll come and get on that airplane with me in a few minutes, and of course, if it has another fire, you might want to get off before we get to Atlanta. But listen to me. I'll take you tonight over to some institutions that have nothing but drug addicts. Some of them are devil worshipers, Satan worshipers. And you know what every one of them will tell you? All they're looking forward to is dying. They're looking forward to death. Boy, how deceived they can be. Satanism offers death and no hope. And brother, it'll cause men to be separated from God forever and forever. But I'm glad, hear me, I'm glad in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I can stand here on this platform and say I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. I can stand here and say I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But Satanism offers death. Let me give you this and I close. I go to Alabama. I've been with Brother Sherman Harper 31 years. Sherman's a great fella. 71 years old now. He's got me beat just a little. I'm not going to tell you how much. But he's got me beat a little. 71 years old. Got me beat just a little. But I remember Sherman one day, he called me to motel and he said, "We've got a girl here in Satan worship. Would you try to help her?" And I said, "I'll do my best." We met at the church. They brought that young girl in. Her mother, that young girl, was jerking, frothing at the mouth. That young girl was so possessed. I did all I could. I got down beside her and opened my Bible and I cried. I read her the precious word of God. I stood over her body and I said, "Jesus, in the name of the Lord, by the blood of Calvary, set this girl free." Finally, the little mother said, "I'll take her on back." I said to Brother Sherman Harper, my good friend, the pastor, I said, "What can we do?" He said, "There's nothing we can do. Maybe if we'd have got a hold of her before Satan got a hold of her. Maybe if we'd have got a hold of her before she surrendered her being to Satan." Now watch that mother hold that little girl up and take her out. And I said, "Lord, help me to tell people that there's life and there's joy and there's everlasting peace with God. Instead of no hope, take her on out. She's bound by demons. She's frothing at the mouth." Oh, I want to tell you something. I was with Sherman just the other day. I didn't get to be with him as I was. I'd been sick. And I had to cut it short. And he said, "Brother Mays, we got a Satan camp right down here. A camp where people come to, like a church camp, but it's Satan's camp." And he said, "Every one of them are on drugs. Every one of them," he said, "is bound. Every one of them's demons, demon possessed," he said. But he said, "You know, I rode by the other day and cried." He said, "Some mother's girls in there. Some mother's boys in there. Oh," he said, "I wept, Mays, because we waited too late. They got off in Satanism. But thank God we've got the answer today. The Lord Jesus Christ said, 'Come unto me, all ye labor and a heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.' What a blessing that is to know
that we have the author and the offer of life. Every head bowed, every eye closed on that.
The devil is a deceiver. From the time he deceived Eve, right on down, Satanism is darkness. They worship in the dark. They'll live forever in the dark, outer darkness. The Christian has light, and we'll live forever in the presence of the light of the Lord Jesus. Satanism is a religion of demon powers. We have the blessed Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and comforts us and teaches us. Satanism is a religion, mister. Oh, it's a religion. It's a religion of drugs. It's a religion of the unnatural. Number five, it's the religion of death. All they can look forward to is the grave and a crisis eternity. Father, I want to thank you. You saved me. Lord, I want to thank you that I didn't get mixed up on drugs. I want to thank you I didn't get into Satanism. Oh, God, I want to thank you this Sunday afternoon that you delivered me from my sins as a young boy in Raleigh, North Carolina.